Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
What I'd like to have right now is for all you fat, out of shape Pittsburgh sweat hogs to keep the noise down while I take my robe off and show all the ladies what a real man is supposed to look like.
Ow, ow.
Jeff, it's another edition of The Payoff. How the hell are you doing?
I actually have that on the back of my business card, but you know, some people take it the wrong way, but that's okay. You know what? It's all about the heel, so it's all right. I'm doing good, my friend. How about you?
We're talking about Rick Rude. I'm doing great right now. This guy is the most underrated. Oh, if he's not the most underrated, he's one of the most underrated, just all around performers in the history of the business. It's our first time covering one of his matches. I haven't seen this match since I was a kid, so I'm pumped to see it, man. If he can carry the Warrior to a good match, then he deserves my ranking as the most underrated performer of all time in the wrestling business.
It's a top performer. I get that. That makes sense. So, but this should be a good one, though. Before we get into it, of course, at Payoff Pod, you guys know where to find us. We do it every week. But, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're out there. Also, too, make sure go back, check out those archives. Right? We've been covering SummerSlam lately. We got a bunch of older stuff. You know, we try and remind you guys of kind of what we have out there. Of course, some good ECW stuff, some early WWE, all that. And so definitely make sure to go back and check that stuff out. So, Tom, I will let you start on this one. Why is this a match that you wanted to cover?
First of all, it's because it's Rick Rude. So the fact that he was in a world title match, maining eventing, the second biggest show of the year, that was big for me. So I was excited to cover that. Cover Rick Rude fits in with our SummerSlam season theme right now. I just also fascinated by this year-long run of the Ultimate Warrior. So, you know, someone other than Hogan is the world champ, and it's doesn't happen often in this era. You know, Savage got his shot and ends up as a heel and gave it back to Hogan. Warrior gets his shot, doesn't last a year. I don't know. I'll tell you, Jeff, I was watching the promo the Warrior did before this match, and it's just the character, the colors, the presentation. It was just so much different than anything. And that's what I love about it. You know, it's like you turn on wrestling now and it's two guys with greasy black hair and, doing the same moves and wrestling the same style. And so it's funny because, you know, everyone's got an opinion about Warrior. A lot of people have bagged on him, which, you know, I think it's just bad juju, bad karma to be, you know, talking poorly of those that are no longer with us. But I mean, the Warrior was different. The character lives on. We still remember him. So it's just interesting that, oh, the guy couldn't work and this and that. And yeah, you know, you don't want to endanger people, but like, he wasn't the greatest wrestler, but the character and the persona and the colors and the presentation live on. And it was just so good. So this is going to be fun to cover. These guys had, you'll get into it, but what, like the better part of a year and a half long feud? There's a lot of meat on this bone. So yeah, why'd you want to cover it?
Yeah, and this is one, I'll be honest, I know the Rick Rude persona, the character. I have not watched a lot of his stuff. I know you've watched far more than me, but I know he has influenced a lot of wrestlers and kind of what he does and that kind of heel and you know, especially like just the outfits alone and how he would kind of play that up. And, he was the kind of playboy before, you know, some of these other wrestlers were of the, appealing to the female base. And, so it's just where I was interested to dig in a little bit more and learn a little bit more of just kind of what he did. And he wasn't just the, for me, so many of us associate him as a manager and not as this in-ring product that he could do too. So, there's something for that to kind of dig into it. So yeah, I'm ready if you're ready.
All right, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So SummerSlam 1990, we're at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. So big city, great wrestling crowd, awesome venue, old home of the Flyers and 76ers. This is going to be a good show, man. It's going to be a good one to cover. It's funny in this era. I feel like the Rockers wrestled on every show, and most of the time they got the shit kicked out of them by bigger wrestlers. So we open with Power and Glory. Yeah, we open with Power and Glory defeating the Rockers. Okay, then I still remember this match all these years later. The Texas Tornado beats Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental title. 5 minutes. Like, just shocking. I'm like, Mr. Perfect never lost during this era. And Texas Tornado was, like, new. And it was a big upset, man. Like, Kerry Von Erich was, you know, so popular in Texas, you know. And just didn't know much about him. You know, they bring him in as the Texas Tornado and obviously a little past his working prime, but this was a big upset. Ugh. So let's see what else we had on this show. We had the Warlord defeating Tito Santana in 5 minutes. Not much to talk about there. The Heart, they did this a lot. The Heart Foundation defeated Demolition in a 2 out of 3 falls match for the tag titles, the longest match of the show. I don't know what it was, but they did a lot of these best of three. They had the one where the Rockers actually beat the Heart Foundation for the tag titles, but then the rope break and they put the titles back on the Heart Foundation. I want to say SummerSlam. Right, yeah. What was another? There was another one we just covered that had a Heart Foundation 2 out of 3 falls match. Yeah, it's just it was interesting. But yeah, so they defeated Demolition. Jake Roberts defeated Bad News Brown. We had a Boss Man was a special guest referee. Again, 4 minute match. This was that era where, man, 6 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 4 minutes. The next match was 3 minutes. Jim Duggan and Nikolai Volkoff defeating the Orient Express. Then a 2 minute match, Randy Savage defeating Dusty Rhodes. Man, that Randy Savage Dusty Rhodes thing just did not do it for me, man. It was not good.
And this was a quick match, too.
The WrestleMania match wasn't good. This wasn't good. It just didn't work, man. Not good at all. I mean, it just, you would have liked to have saw Randy Savage doing something a little more meaningful. And then it's like, if you're going to bring in Dusty Rhodes, but what do? We put him in a goofy outfit, put him with Sapphire. It just didn't work. Second to last match, Hulk Hogan defeating Earthquake. This was the big one where Hogan was squashed by Earthquake. He, you know, hit his finisher a couple times, choked him out. They had the get well cards that go to Hogan. And we had some guys involved in this, Tugboat, Dino Bravo, Hulk Hogan obviously getting the win, you know, still positioned as a major star. He's back. It's Hulk Hogan, right? But it's odd not to see Hulk Hogan in the main event. But then the main event, the Ultimate Warrior, Rick Rude, in a cage match. So interesting show. I don't think anyone's going to say this was the best SummerSlam of all time, but I'm pumped to cover the main event, dude. What do you have for us?
Absolutely. So how do we get here? Like you said, this was a very, very long build. The two of them had actually been feuding. It was since the Royal Rumble in 1989. So we're sitting at SummerSlam 1990. That Royal Rumble was January of 89. So really over a year where these two guys, you know, had been going at it against each other. Now, the how it kind of, I say, got here, you know, what we had was, it was actually at that Royal Rumble. We had the there's no other way, you know, they called it the pose down, and that the winner would be decided by fan reaction. And so what was included in the pose down, of course, and this speaks to like both of their physiques and how big they were. So the four categories on this one were the two men were judged. You had the double biceps, the best abs, the most muscular, and my favorite category, the medley of poses. And so
I remember this well, man. It was brutal.
And this is one I know like, for those listening at home, like, no debate that, it, you know, between Tom and I would win the medley of poses. You probably have me on the other ones, but, you know, when I get moving, there's just no beating me in the medley of poses, but, you know, that's okay. So, you know, so that's the, we should look up, see if there's some merch for the pose down, because that would be funny to have. So, but because the Warrior at the time won the pose down, he actually won every single category. Rude then attacked the Warrior with a metal workout bar. So, after this, though, you had the two kind of feuding over the Intercontinental Championship. Really back and forth, you'd have Rude appearing ringside during the Warriors matches just to be the heel. There's no other way to kind of put it.
Just to fuck with them.
Yeah, it's really all it was. And so, you know, kind of with Randy Savage being involved as well, too, is it, you know, WrestleMania 5, he actually had Rude winning the Intercontinental Championship.
By cheating.
You know, by cheating.
That was a classic. Yeah, it was a classic finish where Heenan held the Warrior's legs. It was really, it was kind of a really interesting way to end that match. But that was, dude, I you know, again, it's different when you're a kid watching this shit, but do you remember just hating heels?
Yes.
Yeah. I just remember like, I'm like getting like worked up remembering some of this stuff as you're talking about. I'm like, guys really pissed me off. Like, just these chicken shit heels, but they were such strong characters and they were believable. I mean, it was most of these heels then, like Rick Rude was a heel, but he was what, 6'5", jacked as shit. Great in the ring, great promo, Bobby Heenan in his corner. So it wasn't like, you know, I mean, you took them seriously. They were really easy guys to hate.
Well, and as much as, you know, we were trying to not talk about the current product, but it was clearly defined faces and heels. And for whatever reason, they, you know, did not build, like, you could build a heel star. You can build a face star. They don't, you know, like Stone Cold was a heel for so much of his run. And granted, yeah, he had the face as well, but
good versus evil is not a hard story to tell.
And that's all it is. Yeah. And we weren't getting that. And so, it was actually Rude. He actually won. It was at that WrestleMania 5. They really traded the belt back and forth a little bit there, but Warrior got it back at SummerSlam. But then you had the Warrior, as we've covered before, going on to beat Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6, which was that April of this year, 1990. He had given up the belt, and so, or, you know, Warrior had to give up the belt, but then after that, because of the long feud that he had had with the Warrior, Rude was then named the top challenger for this SummerSlam after WrestleMania to go against the Warrior. So it just made, like, that to me, it makes sense. Like, I like it to, it fit into place. Like, he beat the guy with the belt, so who's the next up in line? It's the guy he'd been feuding with for over a year. It makes sense. Like, you know, why not that difficult. So
no, it's not. You're exactly right.
Turning this then eventually into a steel cage match where we get this. So really, really long build, a good build, a lot of good matches on the road to getting to this one. And so didn't really go on much after this, but good stipulation, kind of good build how we got here. And that's what we're going with. So Tom, I'll turn it over to you before we get back into the get into the payoff.
Yeah, a great build. It was, I mean, really long, and there was a lot that happened. And it's just, you know, some of these like iconic moments you still remember. I remember how he cheated to win. I remember the weight, the, you know, the pose off match. Obviously, this, it was great. So I'm pumped to cover this one. And yeah, if you want to watch along with us, it's SummerSlam 1990. So Rick Rude is posing, currently paused on my television right now. We're at the 2-hour and 27-minute mark. So 2 hours, 27 minutes, SummerSlam 1990. We're at the Spectrum in Philly. Jeff, are you ready?
I'm ready, my friend.
All right, let's jump into the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right, dude. Rick Rude just looking jacked AF.
Yes,
look at the pants. He's got the Ultimate Warrior on his ass.
Getting punched.
Warriors.
The crowd going ape shit for the Warrior, though. You can see it. You don't even need to hear it.
Look at this.
This is one of the iconic him running down, you know, the camera like,
oh, I remember these tights. This is one of my favorite Ultimate Warrior outfits. For those not watching, he had black shorts on and then just like his neon colors. This was one of maybe my second favorite Warrior outfit outside of WrestleMania 6, just because it was so iconic. Dude's going nuts, sprinting around. Got the title on.
I'm wondering, why did they get away from this cage?
I don't know. I don't know if it was too hard to put up and down or, you know, what they did. Because I guess now the cage, they just raise it and lower it. So they maybe want it to be one solid unit versus this. I don't know if there's more to the story or not.
So,
Vinny Mac on commentary.
See, the Warrior just running laps around the ring on this one. What does the back of his trunk say? I can't even read him.
I can't either.
I'm not sure. But yeah, the Warrior was really running laps. And now they didn't open the cage at any point. Heenan's still in the ring. And the Warrior's just scaling the side of the cage now. And there goes Heenan escaping or going out the side door.
Oh, Warrior on top on the top rope. Is he going to jump off there?
Already, yep.
What an odd to see him on the top of a cage, huh?
Top rope. And the crowd just losing their mind.
Wow. That's great.
And already on their fans. And this was, I mean, this is, you got to remember, for those of you at home, you know, everybody, like, this was Warrior coming off of the WrestleMania win against Hogan.
Yeah, your first pay-per-view match since.
So his star really couldn't have been any brighter at this point. And so, like, that was it. He was anointed as the next, you know, he had the belt. And so, and kind of doing this. And so already, like, dominating over Rude at this point. I love how much the cage gives as well, too, when they kind of throw each other into it. Just kind of interesting to see how that plays out. Yeah. And Rude just doing a great job of selling, though, too. And Warrior just dominating him. So what is, you know, like I said in the opening here, Tom, I have not watched a lot of Rick Rude matches. It wasn't someone that I kind of followed growing up. And so, you know, and you talked about it a little bit. What is your appeal of Rick Rude?
Well, first and foremost, dude, his promos, you got to go back, and not just you, Jeff, everyone listening, go back and watch some Rick Rude promos. It's you'll be blown away. You're like, this is just great shit. I mean, just great heel promos. So, I mean, I love it. But yeah, that first and foremost, the big appeal is he just had these incredibly just awesome heel promos. Next thing, the look, man. I mean, he was just jacked with the 12-pack, and he just had such a good look. I prefer him with the long hair versus the short hair he had here. And I think he's actually bleeding. So he's climbing out of the cage, Warrior going over, grabbing him. You know, this is back when I don't even know if you could end the match in a pinfall. I think you had to climb the cage or go out the door.
Think, yeah, and that's when the rules are fluid, if you will. So who really knows kind of what we got going on here?
Oh, but yeah. Rick Rude's busted open. Yeah. But dude, just look at the physique, man. I don't know. I just thought the look, the promos, again, a really good wrestler as well.
Well, and you've seen, you know, wrestlers over the years, Kai say, I don't know if Rick Rude was the first one to like kind of do the airbrush tights, kind of not just airbrushing tights, but really mocking your opponent as well, too. And so
I think so.
And so that's one, too, where like now, you know, he really set a bar with that, like really an incredible bar of, you know, now really copying the gimmick. There's you know, no other way. Like that literally what they had to do was copy it. So, but that's just one of those where I feel like, you know, man, that side of the cage really has some give to it when they throw each other into it. It's the left side on the camera. But, yeah, of like setting the bar, and it's, you know, I say even myself, like going back and watching some of these matches, like seeing where like people, how wrestlers develop their gimmicks of like, you know, what some of these people had, I say back then in the 90s. And so much of it, it just can't be replicated, because has there been anyone that's kind of been like the Warrior? like, no, like nobody's been Hulk Hogan. And, you know, part of it goes back to that making stars and things like that. But it's you don't see these type of characters anymore. It's just, it's weird.
I agree. Character development.
Yep. Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, Stone Cold said it, and so is The Undertaker.
But
so
think, and here's the thing is, like, think about, let's just take, like, the last, like, you know, 5 or so years of guys coming up from developmental. Think yeah. about how many of them, like, what, and again, you've heard me say it on here before, but it's like, you got a talent like Roman Reigns, and you don't do anything with him. Oh, we're going to call him Roman Reigns. We're going to create a fake name. And, you know, it's like these guys don't have characters. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. I mean, like, what were their characters? And so, like, you had these, like, super talented guys. They've got the look. They can do everything in the ring. They've got some personality in real life. But, I mean, back then, dude, it was like Dusty Rhodes down in Florida Championship Wrestling going, oh, let's call you Dean Ambrose, you know? Ha, ha. Like, that's how they created characters, was just, you know, some guy in his 60s coming up with names that gave him a good chuckle. Like, that's how yeah. Seth Rollins got his name. So there was no character development. So you have this, like, group of guys where, I mean, they don't have characters. They're just all kind of look the same, work the same, act the same, versus, again, you have, like, a Rick Rude. I mean, this super cocky heel that, you know, is like a ladies' man, but he's not nice to anyone. And the Warrior, I mean, look at that gimmick, you know. So, oh, now Rude all the way up to pretty much the top. Oh,
way up the top,
at the whole top of the cage. Are you kidding me?
He is the very top. Oh man, axe handle came down on him.
I wasn't expecting that.
That was, yeah, impressive.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's just, yeah, you're right. If, like, you know,
so again, that's the thing is, like, you know, has Bray Wyatt been perfect over his, like, 4 years on the main roster? Oh, Rude. Oh, gut punch from the Warrior. Yeah. Has Bray Wyatt been perfect in his, whatever, 6 year run on the main roster? No, but at least it's unique. At least it's a character. At least they tried. And I'm not saying everyone has to be that outlandish, but it's these big, bold, colorful characters. It's a TV show.
Yeah. And that's just, and when we see, though, oh boy, and Heenan's slamming the door on the Warrior.
Wow.
Oh, what a,
oh, you can cover him.
Man. Yep. Answering our question. There you go.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Wow. And that's just one, yeah. Well, and we see flashes of those characters nowadays. Like, it goes over really well. Like, the Fiend went over extremely well until they gave him the belt and shit all over it. Like, you know, and there's just so many of those that over the years, like, you could point to where, you know, either, you know, micromanaging the character, or, you know, over involvement of trying to figure out what to do with the character, or, you know, so many of them. He still to this day doesn't need the belt as the Fiend. Like, it was never a thing. It didn't need to be a thing. And so, you know, some of these guys, like the characters, so you've got Heenan now trying to pull Rude out of the cage and Warrior pulling his legs back into the cage. Why the ref doesn't, oh, we've got bare ass of Rick Rude. Oh my goodness. There was a lot of man there. That was, luckily the camera was not pointed in that direction.
Oh, Warrior going after Heenan. He's got him in the cage.
So Heenan, we about to get a Heenan bump here. Oh yeah. Oh, taking the bump too.
And Heenan's been on record of saying the Warrior just beat the shit out of him too.
Not surprising. You could see it there.
Oh god. Oh geez, pretty good bump by Bobby Heenan. Like, he wasn't a spring chicken at this point. What was Heenan at this point? 55?
God, yeah. So that's a great question. I'll have to look it up. But yeah,
here, I'll look it up right now.
But, you know, doing that. So, and you've had Rude's been bleeding this entire match. He's still kind of giving it a go. If the blade job was, we definitely missed it. He did a good job of covering it. You've got.
Oh, so Heenan was only 47 at this point. Oh, 46.
But still, not, yeah. You know, no spring chicken. You got the Warrior using the power of the ropes now. Like, here we go. Just no selling, taking the shots, and Rude trying. It, just taking clotheslines.
Three clotheslines.
There you go. Yep.
It's a pretty good match.
It like I've said it before, it sometimes it just takes a little while to get cooking, and this one took a little while to get cooking, but now that it is, it's good stuff. Yeah. There we go. Going for the power slam. Oh. And this is when he got a Warrior again. Now he's climbing the cage. Rude just laid out in the middle. And that's it. Almost Warrior over the top. Climbing down now. Nobody's stopping him. Warrior shaking his ass and then jumping down.
There you go. That's what they wanted to see, right?
Yep.
You want to see the Warrior dominate.
Especially his, you know, I say his post-match after.
I think it's the back of Warrior's tights say out of control, by the way. I think.
We got it. All right. And so there's the classic pose that we've seen. Warrior sitting on the top corner of the cage, holding the belt, spinning the belt now. Very Seth Rollins-esque. Or Warrior-esque, excuse me, you know, stealing that. And celebrating. So there you go. Yeah, good stuff. So, all right. And now gyrating. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Ready to get into...
Fans are happy. Tom's happy. All right. Let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right. Initial thoughts.
Better than expected.
Absolutely better than expected. This is a pretty good match. It wasn't long. It didn't need to be. These matches don't all need to be long, man.
No.
He's your guy right now. Like, this is your guy. This is your world champ. He beats Hogan. He's on top here. The fans look happy. You still got Hulk Hogan earlier on the show. I'm okay with it.
Don't need to complain about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, it's you know, again, that so much of this era though was, you know, what's going to draw on the house shows, you know, yeah. What's going to pay-per-view to a lesser degree, but you know, it seemed like the Warrior worked. I don't know how I would have booked it differently, but I would have liked to have seen the Warrior have a little bit longer of a run. I don't know, maybe Hogan Slaughter's not for the title. Maybe we get, I, you know, it would have been cool to see Warrior Hogan again. And I know I've said this on here before, but it's just interesting that in previous eras, like especially this era, you know, call it like the first, you know, 8 or 10 WrestleManias, they just didn't do the rematches. Yeah. Okay. WrestleMania 9 and 10, we got Bret and Yoko. But before that, you just didn't get a lot of rematches. Even when it was like WrestleMania 3, you had Savage and Steamboat. They didn't go back to it at 4 in that tournament, which would have been cool. You know, you got Hogan and Andre again, but it was on the undercard. They didn't, you know, it wasn't the main event again. They did the tournament. Hogan Warrior, you never really got the rematch, and I guess WCW you did, but that might be an infamous match when we cover. But yeah, it's just, you know, you didn't get some of these, and you just wonder, again, I know that like Survivor Series, the attraction was the Survivor Series matches, but you just have to wonder, what if we would have gotten Hogan Warrior 2 at SummerSlam or at Survivor Series, you know, and you never really got a lot of these rematches, which is interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it just how it played out, and Warrior, you know, we'll talk about it in a second here, has had a nice run with the belt. Like sometimes that's just kind of all you need type thing. And so that was good stuff. So yeah, what kind of happened? You know, where did we go after this? The following pay-per-view, you had the Survivor Series, you know, Warrior getting involved. In that one, you had the Ultimate Warrior, LOD, and Kerry Von Erich. And they beat the Perfect Team, excuse me, and Mr. Perfect Demolition. You know, just kind of, you know, really interesting were two Warrior, and one of the statistics I saw in this one, this was the third consecutive year that Warrior was the sole survivor for his team at Survivor Series. And so he had a very good record at Survivor Series.
Even as a kid, the Survivor Series stuff didn't really do much for me, man. Like it was just a miss. And I know that, like, you know, the whole idea was it was an attraction, right? Royal Rumble, the attraction was the Royal Rumble, Survivor Series. It didn't work for me. It was stupid. You know, I just never really, 90% of those Survivor Series matches sucked. I mean, there are some cool moments and some cool matches and things that happen, but by and large, you know, you have Warrior, you have Hogan, you have these great heels. Like, yeah, just didn't really do it for me.
Yeah, and there's so much of that where, you know, it still isn't clicking right necessarily. Like we've, you know, kind of dreamed up our, you know, how we think it could be changed up, but
I do at least like that they, you know, now they're doing more of like the brands against each other. So you actually get some pretty like cool matches. I prefer what they're doing now than just, oh, these five guys versus these five guys. It just doesn't work unless to your point, you're going to do something like the Legends and, yeah. Hey man, like, can you imagine if you got like the Undertaker and Goldberg and Triple H and, you know, two other guys that can still work that are a little bit older against a heel younger team? How good would that be?
And they were onto something, even though it didn't work well at the time, like the Hogan Flair team at the Crown Jewel Saudi Arabia show, whatever it was, like you can reignite some of those old feuds, and I don't need to see those two guys in the ring anymore, but you know that you know, the heat that always used to be there, and they can say, you know, they'll do the one more time, like, you know, of like, we're going to do this, but we're going to pick teams and have great teams. But yeah, so
yep.
So Warrior went on, you know, he actually ended up losing the belt. It was actually Royal Rumble that following year, 1991, to Sergeant Slaughter. And so that was just kind of an interesting one. This is when Slaughter was just a gigantic heel and playing because he had betrayed America at this point. So it kind of a fun one that we could, you know, potentially go back and kind of watch as well. And so I had that now. So what happened with Rick Rude? It's kind of interesting how this played out. Just, you know, his character and who he was and things like that. And so, but you had Rick Rude was actually stayed with Bobby Heenan, but he kind of started feuding with Big Boss Man a little bit. He actually was supposed to be part of, like, you know, the Survivor Series team, but of course our favorite general manager, or president of WWF, I don't want to put him down, Jack Tunney, part of, you know, suspending Rude because of some things he had said. It was actually about Boss Man's mother. We know how well this goes over in WWE storylines. And so, can't talk about your mother, things like that. And so the storyline rationale for Rude being, quote, you know, suspended was because of what he had said in the feud with Big Boss Man. The reality was him and Vince were not getting along. And so,
no.
And it all spawned actually from this SummerSlam match, because Rude thought that he was not getting the payoff that he should have been because of that match and what he was doing. And so there were also times too where, kind of, you know, doing my reading, kind of seeing what was happening, that, and we see this nowadays, unfortunately, where Rude was being advertised for house shows, but he was injured, so there was absolutely no way that he was going to be at house shows. So he wanted to be compensated because they were using his name in the advertising. It's a, you know, worst kept secret type thing of, like, some of this still happens with them advertising people that, like, aren't going to be at the shows, or really, I mean, just not, you know, the poor job they do of, like, writing of, they'll announce something on Friday and then by Monday it doesn't show up, you know? And so, you know, so that has never changed since the 90s, but, you know, so him wanting a little bit more money, but, he really just sat at home, didn't come back until, you know, his contract ended. And so now this was he jumped to WCW, but this was long before the pre-tape mustache beard incident of WWF and WCW. And so interesting how, you know, history repeating itself on this one, though, with him jumping and having, you know, issues with WWF happened again when we get, you know, eventually circled back around to this happening another time. So just kind of weird how this played out. And so, yeah, Tom, thoughts on any of that, though, before we kind of get into the reviews or anything like that?
No, jump into reviews.
So where we're at. So this was interesting. It was the third place feud of the year on PWI. Warrior was the third most popular wrestler behind Hulk and Sting. Rude was the third most hated wrestler behind Earthquake and Ric Flair. One, I think we need to cover some more Earthquake matches because that, you know, apparently he was a bigger deal. Like, I did not realize, just we've learned as we've done this show how, you know, the type of wrestler he was and just how much he was out there doing what he did. And so we'll add him to the short list of eventual ones to cover. But this one, though, just like 2.5 stars is what this one got. So I thought, like, there wasn't like a true write-up on this one that I could find, but that was kind of what they gave it. Now, one of the like write-ups I did find was, it said, the match was fine, but at no point did this feel like a main event, and there are several factors to blame. Rude never felt like a legitimate threat, and Warrior being completely overshadowed by Hogan, even after beating him at WrestleMania, were the main reasons. You could also safely say Warrior was a flop as a champion at this point, too. Bottom line, it was undeserving of the co-main event billing, but was a fairly decent match. I'll let you start.
I basically, you know, you figure this is the end of a 3-hour show. Okay. So you got, you know, some decent stuff on the undercard. You got your big Hulk Hogan win. And then what do you want to see at this point? Well, you want to see the Ultimate Warrior kick the shit out of Rick Rude. Okay, and hit his signature spots. You got a cool dive by the Warrior. You got a big dive by Rude. You got some good Bobby Heenan plunder. Beat him up pretty good. You had some good cage spots. Place erupts when Warrior wins. I think it did what it needed to do. And that's the thing, is that, you know, where they've gotten themselves in trouble over the years, think about like Goldberg's 1-year run when he came back and he wrestled Triple H, and, you know, they tried having him wrestle like 20-minute matches. It's okay for, you know, some stuff to be 10 minutes. And that was a really good 10-minute match. You got the Ultimate Warrior coming in. He hit his signature stuff. Place went crazy. That's good. That's what it should be. Let Bret Hart and, you know, the Hart Foundation, let them do your 16-minute match earlier on the show. So, you know, Warrior being champ, you know, you just have them beat up people and wrestle quick matches, and you could get a year out of that, and that's okay. So I liked it. I thought it was really solid. Do you want my payoff score?
Go.
I am going to give this a 6.5, which okay. is... good. It was good. I mean, there was a lot to the build. You know, it's funny. You miss those like great vignettes that we get now. Like, how good would it have been before this if you really saw this like year plus long feud? They could have really, you would have been really psyched to see this match if they had like today's video packages associated with it, because there was a lot of really good build and a lot of really good stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, the build was good. Again, 6.5. A strong 6.5. It was fun. You go watch it. It's a short match, and, you know, it was cool seeing the Warrior. I mean, how many big Warrior world title matches did you have? I don't know. You had him beat Hogan. You had this. You had obviously the title match he lost to Slaughter. I mean, how many other ones were there? There were on house shows, but you didn't see much. So it's just crazy how a guy could be champion for 9 months and you're like, well, what were some of his big matches? Now you'd rattle off like 7 or 8 defenses in 9 months probably. But back then there wasn't a lot that happened.
No. And this is, I'm going to give it a 6. Yep. I think that it is, it's interesting because even in like that, like in a review that I found, like I think it totally ignores the feud that they had. Because in regards to when you look at the feud and how long they had been feuding, like, yeah, he took some time off, quote unquote, to beat Hogan. But then he got right back into a feud that he was having before all this happened. So from a storyline stance, it makes sense that Rude was the next guy up. And so, like, I appreciate that. Was there a ton of action in the ring? No, there really wasn't. And was there anything that really came of this after the fact? No, like, that was it. But at the same time, like, you know, the automatic rematch clause wasn't a thing. And, like, we didn't get a whole bunch more matches between the two of them, which we didn't need it. Like, if this was the kind of the final burn to their feud, I think it's being that stopping point, it was good. And so, I don't see any reason why, while the match itself, it's not going to blow anybody away, but it was something that was different at the time because you weren't getting a lot of steel cage matches. And it was between, really, like you said, it was the Warriors' first big defense after he beat the biggest guy in the industry. So, there's something to be said for all of that, which I think kind of adds to just the aura of this match. So, yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff. All right. Final thoughts, my friend?
No, enjoyed it. It's fun. Go watch it.
Yeah, that's all we can say. And of course, at Payoff Pod, you guys know where to find us: Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. So, Tom, you got any a good finisher here to send us home?
No, I cut my Rick Rude promo at the beginning. That did it for me, man. Well, go. That's there. There's your homework. There's your extra required reading from Tom and Jeff. Is go watch some old Rick Rude promos and tell me that he wasn't underrated and absolutely fantastic.
That's the way to do it. There you go. All right.
All right. All right, Sweat Hogs. As always, thank you for joining us on The Payoff.